This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection. Going to talk about Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals that's upcoming tonight in a moment. But earlier on in the show, we were talking about just how bad the hitting is league-wide in Major League Baseball. The league-wide batting average in 2000 was .271. Only two of 30 teams have an average that high this year, the Rangers and the Braves at .272 and .271, respectively. You have 11 guys hitting .300 this year. In 2002, 35 guys were hitting .300 or higher. And then in 1996, the league batting average was .277. Last year, it was .239. And so we had this long conversation. We talked about why, and we asked people for why, and a text just trickled in, somebody probably listening and trying to catch up on the Odyssey app. Consider that in 1996, when the league hit .277, you had pitchers hitting in the NL.
Crazy.
And now you've got DHs in both leagues, and it's .244 this year. It's just wild. Wild.
That's a great point.
Really good point.
You take out the pitchers, what would it be? I mean, obviously we can't do that, but like, what would it be? It'd be right around what my buddy said when we were little.
It would probably be, it's definitely up over 280.
Yeah.
If you take the pitchers out. How many years did we, guys like Kip Wells could do it, right? And John Van Benskoten.
Who was the best hitting pitcher back then? You could remember.
It'll come to me. Yeah. Guys who could really hit.
Kallis, do you know anything about that? Do you remember?
Best hitting pitchers
best
of all time?
Best hitting pitchers.
Where's Greg Brown?
Need him.
Bob Gibson was really good.
Best hitting pitchers of all time. We'll go down this rabbit hole. Why not? Shohei Ohtani, pretty good.
Yeah.
Former Pirate Ken Brett.
Madison Bumgarner was good.
Mad Bum would be the one that we should have said immediately.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
19 homers and 594 at-bats.
Wow.
Which is roughly a full season worth of at-bats.
Wow.
And in 2014 and 15, he combined to hit .252 with a .749 OPS, which, by the by, is higher than every Pirates OPS
wow.
this year, apart from Brian Reynolds.
Wow.
No.
Don Drysdale could hit.
CC Sabathia, when he was in National League games, hit well.
Bob Gibson, you are correct, and Tom Glavine. Zach Greinke.
Glavine.
Mike Hampton.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. Walter Johnson could apparently swing that stick. Don Larson, Michael Lorenzen.
Liriano was pretty, not all time, but he was pretty good when he was with the Pirates.
Greg Maddux, he hit that one home run. Sometimes he'd just stand up there and just take pitches, though. Liriano. But they all would do that, depending on how deep of the ball game and what situation. Gerrit Cole, obviously, was a pretty good hitter for the Buccos.
Huh.
Good talk.
Interesting.
412-928-9370. I'm sure you'll want to add a few. The Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. So the Florida Panthers were up 3-0, and now they are tied 3-3, and they are a prohibitive underdog at home in a Game 7. And if they lose, it will be one of the biggest choke jobs in North American sports history. Would it be the biggest choke job in North American sports history?
Probably.
No. The Yankees losing to the Red Sox in 2004 for the championship series.
But that wasn't the World Series.
But, think about the...
So, tie goes to the championship round, I think.
Yes.
I know what you're saying. That's absolutely on the list because of the rivalry, because the Red Sox had never won.
All right, you know what? I'll meet you halfway then. You're right, because no team, I think, in baseball, at least, has ever come back down 3-0 to win a World Series. So, that is a difficult thing to do. All right, I'll give you that.
What about the Falcons are up there?
That's...
Mm-hmm.
That might be it, because it's one thing to blow a series. It's another thing to be up 25 points in the Super Bowl.
Was that at halftime, right?
And pee down your leg.
Or...
I'd have to look and see exactly when they blew the lead. We used to do a segment on my old show where my grandma would call in and we'd have her talk about the Pirates, but for big games, we would have her talk about those big games. So we had her come on. She was probably in her mid-80s at the time. Then I asked her about the Super Bowl, and she said, I can't believe they beat Brady. I can't believe they got it done. I said, Grammy, what? When'd you turn the game off? She said, third quarter. I said, oh my God. Bub, oh my God. You don't, they lost.
Right.
The Falcons lost.
Right. Oh my goodness.
That's a big one. The Penguins in 1975 against the Islanders were up 3-0 and they blew it, but that wasn't the Stanley Cup final.
The Golden State and the Cavs, right?
That's a pretty 3-1. Good one. Do they get looked at, though, as the team that blew it, or is it more about LeBron James willing his team from behind? Because there might be some of that in this, too.
How do you look at this series, then?
Yeah, it might
be some
of that.
How will you look at this series? I probably would err on Connor McDavid willing his team.
They're very similar, right?
Because very similar.
That Golden State team was much better than that Cleveland team.
Mm-hmm.
And this Panthers team, you can't convince me it's not better than the Oilers. Top to bottom, I don't know that it's particularly close from top to bottom. I tend to err on the side of choke jobs, like, because I just have a pessimistic outlook about things and glass half empty kind of deal. This is up there. This is way up there. I'd probably go Atlanta first. Like, that is synonymous with just shooting yourself in the foot and blowing it, because it was so easy for them. One where they didn't blow it, like, they didn't, you know, come from ahead to lose, but they did blow it, was Russ Wilson against the Patriots.
Yes.
Instead of handing the ball off to Marshawn Lynch.
Yes.
I was viscerally mad, and I had nothing invested in that game. I'm not sure I even bet on that game. Viscerally mad at a game I had nothing to do with, because it was just such a spit in the face for all conventional wisdom and common sense.
Mm-hmm. They practiced that play, too. Did you ever see that practice film?
I have.
Malcolm Butler?
Mm-hmm. That's the other thing that makes it so annoying,
yes,
is that it just added to the Patriots' mystique, because it then, instead of just being about, you know, Pete Carroll blowing it, it also became about Bill Belichick's greatness and his defensive wizardry and Malcolm Butler doing the right thing because everyone did their job. Dang it.
Honestly, for this year, and I mean, we still have a lot more to go and we still have the football season, but I mean, in the last like month, I mean, if the Oilers come back and they win this series, that'll be one. But number two is Rory last week.
Oh, that was bad.
I mean, that's up there right now. That's all I can't stop thinking about that. That was bad. I mean, there was how many memes and stuff were.
Wait a second. I love the idea of you just wake up in a cold sweat, Rory.
Yeah, Rory.
I just can't stop thinking about it. It's like, keeping me up at night.
I mean, he didn't even participate in this last outing.
You think he slept since then, honestly?
No.
That's just so
disastrous. He's going through so much, too. Like, it was just, oh, storybook stuff. Like, yeah, you're going through some stuff outside of golf, and then that happens.
You have a chance to kind of comb over it with your performance, and instead it just folds right into just a long list of crap that you've been dealing with.
Yes.
Yeah, that is a big-time choke job. One that doesn't have to do with a comeback or anything like that, but, I mean, 13-9, I don't want to take anything away from Pitt. You guys played incredibly well, and you had a great game plan. And Paul Rhodes, he knew exactly what to do
for that.
Yes.
For that not to be a choke job.
Yes. Like,
that was.
They were 28.5-point favorites.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to go national championship.
Yeah.
Nobody in their right mind thought that was going to happen. Nobody outside of our locker room.
Did you guys really believe going in?
No. Well, kind of. We had nothing to lose. We had that feeling.
Yeah.
We had a nothing to lose feeling.
But you probably weren't thinking, we got this.
No, because the year before, you guys put like 1,000 yards on us in one game.
Yeah.
And you had the same players back.
Yeah.
But we had like nothing to lose. So we're like, hey, let's go after it. Let's just empty the tank. And we did.
That college sports history, I mean, North American sports history, that's making a podium stand.
It has to.
How does it not?
What about college football? There's some.
Steelers choked against the Chargers in 1994. They were a double-digit favorite in the AFC Championship game at home, back when Cowher couldn't get it done.
The Auburn kick.
Kick six.
Yes.
That's a bad way to lose.
Yeah, that's a bad way to lose, not choke, I guess.
Make the tackle. I mean, that's a hell of an individual play. In all these, it's tough because you don't want to take away from the winning team, but if the losing team, like, it's not. For the Panthers, just play simple, man.
Uh-huh.
Like, it's easier said than done slowing down Connor McDavid, but get pucks deep, grind them down. You're the deeper team. You're the more physical team. Like, you had to win one of four And they still might, I guess, but would you not? Would you be? I would be shocked if the Panthers won tonight.
Very shocked.
Shocked. What's the betting line on that game? Because the Panthers are obviously playing at home. I think the prohibitive favorite is the Oilers.
I'm not sure.
-110 for both.
Yeah.
I saw it at the end of game six. The Oilers were a massive favorite, but that is evened out.
Mm-hmm.
Those don't always go well. You think about game sevens at home. Boston recently lost one to St. Louis, a game seven at home. They choked that series away after being up 3-1. When the Penguins won in 09, they were on the road in Detroit. It's not always kind to the home team, game sevens. And there's so much luck involved.
But I mean, you're waking up now, probably going to get a morning skate. Think about how tense it is.
Oh, my God.
Like that atmosphere.
Well, and Bobrovsky missed the morning skate yesterday, or the practice yesterday. He wasn't there. I don't know why.
What do you mean?
He wasn't there. I don't know if he was ill or he's banged up or what. He was not at the morning skate. Michigan App State's a good one.
That's up there.
Mm-hmm. Greg Norman blowing a 6-stroke lead at the Masters is a big one.
Oh.
But yeah, Michigan App State, that to me, not to, like, we're way off the reservation here, but who cares? That to me was like the announcement that spread football, like, that could really even the playing field. Because the quarterback was really good for App State, but there wasn't another player on that roster that could have played on damn Michigan and they win that football game.
Yep.
That's crazy, man.
Hmm.
Are you rooting for the Oilers to do it? I kind of think it'd be really funny if the Panthers were able to get this thing done.
I'm rooting for the Oilers. I mean, I've said it for weeks now about Connor McDavid. I think he's going to make this game and carry the torch, and I want to see it happen.
If they win, now to flip this on its head, we talked choke job. If they win this series, you can make the argument, and I think many will, that Connor McDavid just had the best postseason in the history of North American sports. He's going to finish top two in scoring all time in a postseason and was the principal reason why they won at least two of these games to come back. It'd be really hard not to say that was the best run ever.
Yes.
Weirdly, the other one that comes to my mind is Joe Flacco.
He was very good.
Very good. I think 11 touchdowns, no picks, where he became Tom Brady just for one postseason. The other one that comes to my mind where he didn't win a championship was Larry Fitzgerald that year. He was unstoppable when the Steelers beat the Cardinals.
Yeah.
Unstoppable. And I think if Kurt Warner gets that Hail Mary off at the end of the game, that I still think they should have reviewed and did not review, and Lamar Woodley got the strip sack. If he gets that Hail Mary off, there's like a 15% chance that Larry Fitz is going up and winning that ball over anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Over Defensive Player of the Year, Troy Polamalu. All right, you can text us, 412-928-9370. Biggest choke jobs in postseason history. Also, how about the best postseasons all time in North American sports history? You can text us, 412-928-9370. Brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And you can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. We got some phone lines popping on one of the 15 topics we just covered in that segment. And coming up next, I got something about Patrick Queen I want to run by you. How about that?
All right.
All right, but
better
first,
not be Green Dot.
All right, we're going to have to do something else. I'm kidding. It ain't Green Dot. Fan Morning Show Twitter poll is brought to you by PJ Fitzpatrick Home Improvement. Trust PJ.com. Of these three Pirates, who is most likely to turn it around? Key Brian Hayes, Jack Suwinski, or Henry Davis? Most people are buying Key Brian Hayes, but the write-ins say no one. And a lot of people saying mean things about Andy Haynes. Much more on the Pirates coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. Neil Walker will join us right at the top. Dan Zangrilli at 9:35. One more Pirates note. I saw this tweeted, Doran. Steven Strasburg's first 8 starts, 48 innings, 2.03 ERA, 68 strikeouts. Paul Skeens' first 8 starts, 46 innings, 2.14 ERA, 61 strikeouts.
Hmm.
And if those two inherited runners didn't score in his debut because they were walked in, for God's sakes, his ERA would be below 2 and be well ahead of where Strasburg's was.
Yes.
So he has lived up to it. We'll talk more Pirates in the 9 o'clock hour. But the Oilers are on the precipice of greatness tonight. Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals. The Florida Panthers may be going to have the biggest choke job or one of the biggest choke jobs in North American sports history. And so we were kicking around what else would be on the podium, what else would be on that medal stand. And a couple of Pittsburgh-related ones that got texted in, Doran. Neil O'Donnell in the Super Bowl.
Yes.
Two interceptions.
Mm-hmm.
And then the 2005 divisional round game, Steelers against the Indianapolis Colts, where the Steelers won that game and the Colts were a big-time favorite going in. It already really spanked the Steelers earlier in the year. That's a really good one. I think people in Indianapolis would view that absolutely as a choke job in multiple ways. One, you get down 14-0 before you even have time to get your beer, and then they come all the way back, and the Steelers were about to have a bigger choke job than we've ever really seen, with Bettis fumbling, and Vanderjagt then chokes it away. At the time, the most accurate kicker in NFL history, and he winds up shanking that thing. That's a really good one. Can I mention one without you getting mad?
Pip Askwell?
I don't look at that as a choke if you're talking about Reynolds.
Mm-hmm. So what other direction were you going to go in?
Cincinnati.
That wasn't a choke. I mean, that was, they were.
You're up big.
Yeah, but they were even. Like, we were playing for the number one spot.
I know, but that's, isn't that in line with the Super Bowl, 28-3?
Yeah.
I didn't want to do it, but I felt like I had to because of 13.
Yeah, we definitely choked that away. Definitely.
I keep sniffing into the microphone. I'm aware of it. I'm trying to fix it. I just did it there. I'm sorry. People are texting about it. I don't know what's happening. Allergies. All right? I almost did it again. People are saying neither one of those football games are choke jobs, talking about the Neil O'Donnell throwing the two picks. He specifically choked.
Yes.
And then, 05, yeah, that's it. Vanderjagt choked. Now, the Steeler, you got to... We said in the last time, you got to give credit to the team that wins, too. Like, the Steelers went into Indy and punched them in the mouth. There's no doubt about that. But when you're a huge favorite and you're at home and you've got Peyton damn Manning and you lose the game, and really the Steelers dominated more than the scoreboard would indicate, yeah, there's a level of choke job there. Of course there is.
Is the 07 Patriots a choke job?
Absolutely.
That's up there.
Absolutely. That deserves to be mentioned. The way that 28-3 is mentioned.
Yes. They're undefeated.
Yeah, they were. That's the best football
Eli
team
Manning.
I've ever seen.
Yes.
We talked about this the other day off the air. I forget why. Eli Manning. Really just a guy. But won two Super Bowls, and that'll put you in.
Yep.
We were talking about rings, I think it was. And
you know, brothers.
T.J. Watt, and then brothers. And yep, that's exactly what happened. Eli damn Manning beat you in 2007.
And 11.
Seven's the biggest choke job.
Oh, that is,
without a doubt, the best football team I've ever laid my eyes on. Ever. They play that game 100 times. They're winning 99 of those games. And I know the Giants gave them trouble at the end of the regular season, but Brady was asked on media day, you're going to score 14 points. He goes, we're only going to score 14 points, and that's what happens. You lose, what, 17-14? Unbelievable. I still can't believe that happened. All right, I had a Patrick Queen nugget for you.
Okay.
So Patrick Queen's been talking mad junk on the city of Baltimore. And so if you search Patrick Queen on X, it's a lot of Ravens fans saying that Roquan Smith made Patrick Queen. So I did a little bit of digging. The year before Roquan Smith went to Baltimore, and this is not the be-all end-all, but it's relevant, he had a PFF rating of 45, which is really, really, really bad. And then with Patrick Queen that year, he was really, really, really good. So who made who?
Well, wasn't he a rookie that year?
No, it was Patrick Queen's third year, and Roquan Smith was, what, how many years into the league? So, like, my point is...
So for his first 3 years, he wasn't as good, and then he became good whenever Roquan Smith
correct.
Got there?
That's the argument that their fans are making, yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's not going to hurt.
Okay.
But also, like, that's generally, and this is the way I've always viewed it. Like, for anybody in the NFL, you got to be young and you got to be seasoned to be at your peak. Your peak's not going to be your rookie year. Peak's not going to be your 12th year in the league. Your peak is going to be when you are most physically able and when you have the best understanding of the game. Is it possible that Patrick Queen was just getting better on his own before Roquan Smith got there?
Mm-hmm.
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, Roquan Smith's going to help because he's damning good.
For sure.
But I can't pretend, I don't think they should pretend that Patrick Queen is just some bum because his ascent happened to coincide with when he got to play with Roquan Smith.
I don't look anything into that.
Mm-mm.
I mean, it could be scheme. It could be, you know, even like as we joke, green dot. Like, I mean, it could be.
What are
so
the responsibilities thrown on your plate?
Like
maybe Baltimore's defensive scheme pretty good. I mean, their defensive coordinators be getting hired, and you plug him in there instead of Chicago, where, I mean, they're not doing anything right. And so that could have a lot to do with why Roquan Smith took off. It might have been Patrick Queen's help. All these things probably get folded into one. I think the Steelers got a really good player in Patrick Queen. And if Patrick Queen is not what he was in Baltimore, that does not mean that he's not a significant upgrade over what they've had.
Exactly.
And he's also been durable. So you say that and he's going to get hurt game one, but...
I mean, it's such a cop-out to say something like that.
Stupid.
Like, obviously, you're mad that he's not there anymore. And it's like, oh, well, so-and-so made you. Like, okay, you could say that with every player.
You
could say that with every player.
Of course you can.
I mean, was Ryan Clark really good because he had Troy? I don't know, man. I could say that there, but it's not the truth.
I would still take Ryan Clark even without Troy.
Right.
I would have taken Chris Hope at that time without Troy.
Right.
Those were both really good players. That's a good point by you. Like, scheme matters, coaching matters, who you're playing with matters, where you play matters, outside, dome, like, all that stuff matters. And Ravens fans were big mad when Patrick Queen left. I can't believe he's going to Steelers. People pissed. And then what, 2 months later, well, he wasn't very good to begin with.
Right, yeah, okay. Give me a break.
He was left off the top 100 players list, though, Patrick Queen, which I kind of disagreed with. We'll see. We'll see.
I think he's going to be good.
I think he's going to be very good. Mm-hmm. And I think he's going to stay healthy for them.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Coming up next. Oh, Doran, you're going to love this. NFL insider lending some credence to an opinion I had been out alone on an island on. Wait until you hear who said what about Dak Prescott. Oh, yeah. Doran, you see this?
Well, I can't really see. What are you talking about?
We got furries up in the studio today.
Oh.
Three furries going to be on with 100.7 Star. Anthrocon going to be from the 4th through the 7th of July.
Wait, they're here now?
Yeah, David L. Lawrence Convention Center. There, no one's let them in. They're right outside the vestibule there.
Oh, yeah. I see the feet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I kind of feel bad. I'm staring a little bit. But I mean,
what are you supposed to do?
You don't see it every day. What I do know is this. Brian Reynolds, 20-game hitting streak. Andrew McCutcheon is about to go to MVP level, baby.
That's
Kutch
right.
Loves the damn furries.
That's right.
Loves the furries. Should we? I don't know. You want to have one on? I don't. Not today. Maybe tomorrow?
Maybe.
Or maybe not. Remember when you had Callis and me going that you had that you were a furry and you went as a giraffe?
Yeah, I did. I don't know why you guys don't believe me. Like, I laid the whole entire story out for you. Why would I make something up like that with all these listeners? Just put myself out there if I didn't really actually do it.
That's the first time I think you've ever officially teased me. That was very unkind.
I think I'd be an aardvark.
Remember,
Arthur?
I chose the elephant, remember? You know.
You could do a much better elephant than that.
Yeah, what was that?
That was garbage elephant. That was the same, only louder. It was still just as bad.
Do one then. Go ahead.
That was worse.
That was bad.
But I tried it. Let me do another one. Here's another choke job. The 04 NBA Finals. Pistons over Lakers with four future Hall of Famers in the starting lineup.
Mm-hmm.
Who'd they have? They had Kobe, they had Shaq, they had Gary Payton.
Gasol?
And Pau Gasol. And the Pistons had Rip Hamilton. Who else was on that Pistons team?
Ben Wallace.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was, what was the point guard's name? Bald head guy.
Oh, like Chauncey Billups.
Yes.
Let's go. I got
good
an
call.
NBA guy.
I think it was him.
I think you're right, man. That was shocking at the time. And then the Lakers weren't the same, I don't believe, in that era right after that. That team, not to get off, again, the reservation, but that Pistons team reminds me, in a way, of these Celtics. These Celtics that won the title are just... I mean, they had a historically good season. They blew everybody out, but it was a team. Like, those Pistons, that was a team. That wasn't a superstar team. It was just a team.
Mm-hmm.
They beat a superstar team.
Yes. Yep, team.
Mm-hmm. Can't spell team without me, Doran.
Yes, so get me the ball.
Mm-hmm. Jeremy Fowler was on the This Is Football podcast earlier this week, and he named the Steelers as a possible landing spot for Dak Prescott if the Cowboys can't reach an extension with him.
Why are you doing this?
He said this, quote, I'm thinking of Pittsburgh, right? Like Russell Wilson, he may play great, but he's on a one-year, $1 million minimum deal, right? And Justin Fields doesn't have his fifth-year option picked up. Maybe he's a long-term answer, end quote, from Jeremy Fowler. It's picking up steam, man.
Do you think this is all starting from you?
I think there's just a – I think what happened is this offseason was
– I think you started this mess.
I mean, I'll take absolute credit for it.
I 100% think that everybody that is talking about Dak Prescott to the Steelers, it started from you.
It makes sense. It's not the most likely thing that they would do. But here's why I'll say it wasn't me. I'm the first media guy that's been pounding the table. Because now I am pounding the table for it. But it started with Omar Khan. Yeah, you get rid of Kenny Pickett, you bring in Russell Wilson, you bring in Justin Fields. I didn't think that stuff would happen. We thought it could happen. You were all over it. You said it could absolutely happen. And then lo and behold, it did. It showed that the Steelers aren't going to paint themselves into this box and just operate the way that they've always operated. And that means anything's a possibility.
Yeah, anything's a possibility whenever you don't have to pay any money. That's the thing.
But if Russell Wilson's just okay and Justin Fields doesn't show anything, I don't think they're going to come into next season with either one of those guys as a sure thing. And cap's going to go up. You don't have to
pay
Cam
Hayward. You think the Pittsburgh Steelers would be willing to pay $60 million to Dak Prescott?
Sure.
Like you aren't, really?
Yeah. They're handing out more money than they've ever handed out to a free agent, and that's Patrick Queen. Now the money pales.
$37 million.
Yeah, the money pales in comparison. But it's either that, or you maybe have to tank, and they're not going to do... I think they'd be... I'll frame it this way. They'd be much more likely to sign Dak Prescott to a $60 million deal than they would to just roll it out there with Justin Fields, who they don't believe in, and tank.
They'd be much more likely to re-sign Kenny Pickett than to sign Dak Prescott.
No way. Dak ain't going to quit on his team like Kenneth Shane reportedly did. I think it could happen. You know, Cam Hayward's salary... If anything, it's going to go down, and you don't need to sign George Pickens. So far, they don't have Ayuk. It's not like they've got a ton of money tied up in other guys, and we know how they are able to kind of kick the can down the road with Omar Khan's cap dealings. I think it's a possibility. I don't think it's the most likely thing. But would you rather do that, or would you rather go into the draft and get a guy? Like this upcoming draft, if you're picking like 20th or something, I think I'd spend the money on Dak.
No, I would find another option. I would find somebody for half the money that's out there. I don't know who it would be, like, but I would go like the Gardner Minshew route for a year.
Oh, I'm tired of that.
For a year. Until the next draft, because the next draft is way better than this coming draft.
I'm looking to see who else would be free agent. Now it's... I mean, he's going to be... There's going to be 8 to 10 teams, Fowler said, that would be vying for his services. So that money would get silly, you would have to think. 2025 NFL free agents quarterback. Dak Prescott, Jordan Love, we'll see. Darnold, Wilson, Lance, Brissett, Mariota, Stidham, Locke, Dalton.
Oh, God.
Flacco, White, Jameis Winston, Mac Jones, Carson Wentz, Jimmy Garoppolo, Mason Rudolph. Hey, guess what?
Oh.
Dak Prescott it is. Let's go.
Horrible list.
If you win... I'll say this. You win 11 games. I did that thing you like. I'll say this. If they win like 11 games with Russell Wilson, and you could get Russell Wilson after winning 11 games, and he puts up similar stats to what he put up last year in Denver, I would take Russell Wilson at $35 million over Dak at 60.
Yes.
But if Russ is priced, if he plays really well and he prices himself into that $50 million range,
I'm sticking with Fields.
I'd
give him a small contract.
Here's the problem with Fields, though, in my opinion. Unless he's able to play this year and show you something that's not on the practice field, but in games, I can't pay him. I can't pay. I feel like
you'd be saving money again because you wouldn't pay him top dollar. You'd offer him something because nobody else
that's
is going to pay him.
He would not. He would not
be able
command,
to command
a pretty penny
because he didn't play. He didn't play.
Mm-hmm.
You give him something like 2 to 3 years, $20 million, $25 million, or something, and then just ride that out maybe for a year, and then see where it's at, and then go to the draft.
Yeah.
Even if you ride it out and you know, I'd still, regardless, would go to the draft.
If I'm Cam Hayward and I sign a deal, if I'm TJ Watt and I want to win a playoff game, and their idea is to go cheap at quarterback again with the guy that didn't play the most this year, I think I'd be real on pissed.
Oh, well, they don't make the decisions.
Ain't that the truth? All right, coming up next, furry talk. Should we grab a furry?
Mm-mm.
I don't want to either.
Mm-mm.
When we come back, we talk a little bit more about what Paul Skeens did yesterday and how the Pirates are just letting that man down significantly.
Two balls, two strikes, two outs. Paul Skeens, the wind, the pitch. He struck him out with 102. He decides to wait to the end for his fastest pitch of the day. The incredible Paul Skeens marches off into the dugout to a standing ovation.
50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. The Pirates now 6-2 in Skeens starts. 7 innings, 1 earned, 8 strikeouts. The 98th pitch, as you heard there, was 102 miles an hour. He's third in the league with a 2.14 ERA. And in the two losses the Pirates have suffered with Skeens having pitched that day, he pitched 13 innings, gave up 2 runs in the game, and they 2 runs combined, and they lost. And he has never left a game when the Pirates are trailing. So I'm caught here. I want to talk about how it sucks so bad that they can't score runs, only 14 of them on their 6-game homestand, but I was just watching the highlights in the hall. Like, that 98th pitch at 102 miles an hour, and then the smile, he is beyond special.
Mm. You heard the crowd, too. The crowd was chanting. He just loved that. Fed into it. Fueled him. And just whip. Threw it as hard as he could.
Isn't that sick?
Loved it.
98 pitches, mid-80s yesterday, which was actually cool compared to what it has been. But he's sweaty. You know, he's got to be tired. And he just rears back and throws one 102 miles an hour right by that son of a gun. He had no chance. And he knew that. That's why he smiled. You had
zero chance.
And then I'm looking at the strikeout montage, and two that come to mind. He puts 100 right on the black on a strike 3 called, and then 95-mile-an-hour splinker that, you know, you ever see, like, the old DVD waiting screen that bounces, right? And you want it to land directly in the corner? That's where he put that pitch.
Yep.
Right on the outside corner, right on the bottom of the knees. There's nothing anybody can do with that. And we thought he would be good. We thought he would be great. He's going to win the NL Rookie of the Year. And I think if the Pirates make the playoffs and he keeps it up like this, I think he's going to win the NL Cy Young Award because of the hype.
Yeah.
Like, Ranger Suarez could be better wire to wire, and I still think Skeens might be the guy that gets it because he's a rookie if he pitches the way that he's pitched the rest of the year. I can't get enough. Steven Strasburg had a 2.04 ERA through his first 8 starts and 68 strikeouts. He's got 61 and a 2.14 mark. He's the prince that's promised. He has lived up to every level of expectation. And I remember vividly, we had the conversation. He's going to come up. He's probably not going to do what Jones did. Jones was so good and historically speaking good for like 6 straight starts. And we said, he'll be good. He's not going to do that. He's done better than that.
It's unreal. Insane. Unreal.
We'll talk to Neil Walker all about Paul Skeens and more when we come back. But first, Fan Weather brought to you by Sun Chevy. 24 Silverado LT Crew Cab, up to $7,500 in rebates. Full terms and qualifications at sunchevy.com. Today, high 82.